Amen and amen. Glory to God. You know, this year, can you imagine that we are in September already? This is September. Guys, this is September. We've had a very eventful year. And for us as believers, it has been victory all through. How many people agree with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what's the title of our convention? More than enough. More than enough. And you know, this year, when last year in December, when the word of God came forth, and the prophecy came saying that, you know, gross darkness was going to cover the earth and all of those things, that wasn't what we were actually expecting to hear. Amen. Because at the start of each year, you expect to hear good things. But God tells you, hallelujah, he prepares you. He doesn't leave you there. He tells you what he's going to do during the year. And even if for the world, do we experience whatever it is, for us, he told us that this is our year for more. Amen. And the message came forth that we're going to be doing a lot of praying this year. And Pastor got it so strongly that he almost thought that the theme for the year was the year of prayer. Amen. But God said, no, this is a year for more. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? There's going to be trouble. There's going to be tribulation. We're going to have to pray. We're going to conquer in the place of prayer and everything. And then you're telling us that it's a year for more. Praise the Lord. But we are spirit beings. Amen. And when God speaks, we understand him. Amen. We don't think like the world thinks. We don't understand like the world understands. Praise the Lord. And you know, I'm really honored to be here this morning, to be used as God's vessel, to be used as a mouthpiece, you know, of God. Amen. It's such an honor and I don't take it for granted. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to give a little recap. I'm going to start by giving a little recap, you know, from the message that, you know, Pastor gave from day one. Hallelujah. He said, it is important to see from God's angle, because before God starts anything on the earth, he has the end planned out and finished. Amen. You see what I was talking about? Before he starts anything, before he tells us anything, he has seen the end from the beginning and he has revealed it to us. He doesn't tell us about the bombs along the way, like Pastor said. He doesn't tell us what the devil is going to do. He only tells us what he is going to do. And for him to focus on the bombs, that's an insult to him. Praise the Lord. And that's the reason why he wants us to focus on him and not on what the devil is doing. And you know, the devil knows that. And that's the reason why he tries his best to distract. And you know, this morning, as I was pondering on the message that the Holy Ghost gave me at about 4 a.m. this morning, glory to God, I began to ponder this morning and I was like, you know, when Jesus said to Peter to come, you know, when Peter saw Jesus walking on water and he asked the master, if it's you, then bid me come. Then Jesus said to him to come. And Peter was walking confidently on the waters. And I wonder what the other disciples were thinking. I'm sure they were like, this guy is always so full of himself. Praise the Lord. He wants to show us that he has faith. And then at the end of the day, the devil, on the other hand, was saying, look at what this guy is doing. He's actually walking on water. And before you know it, he's going to get to the master. And so that the devil decided to distract him by causing the winds and the waves. But Peter made a mistake by paying attention to what was going on. You know, there's this story about the eagle. It talks about a certain bird. I don't know if it's a falcon. I don't remember what particular bird, who tries to take on the eagle. So when the eagle lands, what this bird does is to get on the back of the eagle and begin to peck at its neck, you know, do everything possible to get at this eagle. But the eagle just spreads its wings and takes off. He doesn't pay that bird any heed. He takes off and he just keeps going until he gets to a level where the bird becomes dizzy and falls off. Praise the Lord. You can imagine what would have happened if the eagle had decided to take on that bird on ground. Maybe they would have rolled in the sand, the eagle would have lost some feathers, and there would have been, you know, a huge fight, and then a lion will come, and, you know, the lions will come and get rid of both of them. And so the eagle knew the danger of destruction. And so he paid that bird no heed. He did what he knew to do. He went high up, taking himself away from that territory to the place where the eagle, that the falcon became, you know, becomes powerless, and he gains the victory. Amen. That's how we as believers should live our lives on this earth, knowing that challenges are distractions from the enemy, curveballs from the enemy. Pay them no heed. Even when they come to your doorstep, pay them no heed. Jesus said something to us. He said, I know that in the world you have tribulation. He said, but fear not. He said, I have overcome the world. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. And I want to talk to people who are alive this morning. Alive and well. Glory to God. You know, in a season where people in the blessed house have had testimonies, that's enough reason to give glory to God. And God had told us from the very beginning that we will lose no one. And so we were not even ready to shut down the church. And we praise God for our governor, who knew that the church was an essential service and decided to give us free course. Initially, the devil wanted to, you know, make it to us, but, you know, very fast, things changed. Praise the Lord. And we are still here, same as we were, not having lost anyone. Can we just give glory to God for that? Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. We have victory in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 says that the works was finished from before the foundations of the world. God settled it already. Let us, can you give me Hebrews 4:13? Amen. He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest inside, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him who we have to do. Praise the Lord. Let me see 14. Hallelujah. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We are not to be distracted. Amen. And so, I said I was going to give a little recap of the message from day one. The devil came too late. He came too late. Because we know that we have entered into the finished works. Praise the Lord. The only person that is too late for is the one who does not know who he is. But I'm not going to run ahead of time. Praise the Lord. And he said here that the devil also knows that he has been defeated. And there's a place that has been prepared for him already, for himself and his angels. Those little demons that you think are so great, there's a place already that has been prepared for them. Amen. And so God does not regard the circumstances of this life. Like we said, it is an insult to him. That's giving credence to the ability of the devil. And that is fear. And if you know, in the Bible, it said many times, fear not, fear not. Because your fear is having faith in the ability of what the enemy can do to you. And that's not where God wants your focus to be. He wants your focus to be on him and his ability. And you know, it got me thinking. When the first Moses sent out the first spies to go spy out the land of Canaan, they came back with an evil report. Do you know that none of those people, the generation of those people, got into the promised land? After everything that God had done, shown, manifested in their presence, they still doubted, and God said, no, this is not the generation of people that I want. And he had to get rid of them all, except for two. And then Joshua was, even Moses, not even Moses, not even Moses. God is no respecter of persons. He wants you to stay focused on his word. Amen. He wants you to stay on track. If Moses had stayed on course, if he had stayed on track, if he had not allowed anger to distract him, he would have been the one leading the people into the land that was promised. How sad. How sad. After 40 years in the wilderness, he never got to see the promised land. Except while maybe he was looking at it from heaven. Looking down from heaven. Not a good story. Amen. And that is why God keeps talking about faith. Because without faith, it is impossible for us to please God. Amen. When God sends you on a journey, he doesn't tell you about the speed bumps. He doesn't focus on that. He just tells you, go to Washington, go to Georgia, go to this place that I have prepared for you, and you're going to do this, 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 and that. Like Pastor mentioned something, he said, if Daniel had known that he would be thrown into the lion's den, that he would be thrown into the furnace of fire, he probably would have said, you know what, let's just kill me now. Amen. But he went through all of that. And in fact, he was even, you know, picked by the palace and made a eunuch. And you know, it's not a good thing to be a eunuch. In fact, when I went and I researched on what that term eunuch meant, it wasn't anything good. It wasn't anything good. And Daniel would have been so discouraged and said, Lord, you didn't tell me all of this. Why have you forsaken me? But he kept his focus. And he's recorded as one of the greatest men, hallelujah, in the scriptures. Isn't it just wonderful that we have all of these people to refer to? And that's the reason why I don't agree with the song that says that Jesus is the only name to be remembered. Jesus' name shouldn't be the only name. God is proud to show us off. And I say that because you can imagine when the devil came, you know, the Bible says that the angels came before God and the devil came amongst them. And God asked him, what have you come to do here? Where are you coming from? Of course, his usual business, from going about to and fro. You know, the Bible says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. And he was, you know, coming from his usual business of searching to and fro. And he happened to see a man named Job. Hallelujah. He found that man. And all he could think of was how to destroy him. But I'm going to talk about that later. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13 says, he says to us, hallelujah, but I know the plans that I have towards you. Hallelujah. Let's get that. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. What do you think would be the end of a man that God has placed in position? It's an end of victory, an end that knows no defeat. You know, for those people, those of you who like watching football, someone laughed. You like watching football. I didn't know that. Praise the Lord. You know how on edge people are when they're watching football. And they're expecting those goals. And they have their favorite teams. And, you know, they're cheering their teams on. Cheering their teams on. And when they see that the enemy team, the opposing team, is about to, you know, gain. they're shaking in their, you know. And, oh, they say, go, no, do the. And they're, you know, even playing that football more than the footballers themselves. Praise the Lord. And they're on edge. They're nervous. They're uncomfortable. Because they don't want their team to win. To lose. Maybe they have made a bet somewhere with some of their friends and they don't want to lose that money that's been betted. Amen. And so they're cheering on. But you know what happens to someone who has watched that game before? Maybe his team won 4-0, and those goals were scored at the very last minute. It has happened before. I remember the game between Nigeria and was it Brazil or Argentina in 1988 or something like that? I'm not a football lover, but I watched that particular match. Amen. But one thing I know was that all of the goals that they scored were scored at the dying minute. They beat Argentina and they beat Brazil. And those people, those teams went home and refused to collect their medals because they were ashamed. Amen. Do you know that that's just like God? And it looks like when it looks like the enemy is winning, but we know better. Amen. That we have the victory. So what we do is that we operate from a vantage point, from the position of victory. Amen. So that's the reason why we say that we can never be discouraged. As children of God, bring it on. I will defeat you. Amen. It doesn't matter how long it takes. You are defeated already. Glory to God. But you find out that someone who has watched that match already, and you know, he's seated with the others who have not, they're just seeing the game for the first time. He just sits down coolly because he knows what's going to happen. And so why those ones who are just watching it for the first time are shaking in their seats and all of that, he's like, oh, don't worry. And they're like, don't tell us what's going to happen. They want to enjoy the suspense. But he's just cool. That's us as believers, unruffled in this world. That's how we should be, amen. And that's how we are. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so interesting, the testimonies that we've had in this house. And like when Deacon Dan Babs was giving his testimony, and he talked about him, you know, not being sure until the very end. The most important thing is, whether you're sure or not, it will not pay you to give up. That's just the thing. That's the victory. Not giving up. Being persistent. Being consistent. Keeping your eyes on the mark. Looking at the master, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who has told us that he has overcome the world already. That you should not be afraid. The one who has given us victory. Hallelujah. The one who has given us the Holy Ghost to lead us, to direct us, to guide us. And that's the reason why I never like to hear any believer say, I am confused. Because we know that our God is not the author of confusion. You can say, I don't have clear understanding of this situation, but never say you are confused. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. Do you know that the devil also latches on to every word that you speak? He's watching over those negative words to bring them to pass. And I will give you a clear example, and that was the reason why I mentioned Job. Job had been speaking negative words. He said he was not in safety. He was always making, performing sacrifices for his children and doing all of that just in case his children had sinned without his knowledge and all of that. But he didn't know that he was actually sinning himself. Because he said, I knew that I was not in safety and I was not quiet about it. If you go to the book of Job, you will see that that was what he said. He said, I knew that I was not in safety. But do you know what the devil said? The devil heard all of these things that Job was saying. The devil was there and he was hearing all of these things. And he said, man, this guy does not know who he is. And so because he doesn't know who he is, I have the opportunity to destroy him. And that's the reason why the Bible tells us that he who breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. And so there was already a leeway for the devil to enter. And you can see in the conversation that he had with God, And God said, God did not know that Job had sinned. Why? Because God does not give heed to, if God does not hear evil conversations. And that's why the Bible says that God does not hear the prayer of the sinners. And he says, don't ramble on like all of those sinners that think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. You know the reason why? When sinners ramble, they think that God is impressed. Amen. But God is looking at something else. But we as believers, the only prayer that God is interested in from them is for their repentance and their acceptance of the Lord Jesus. For them to call upon his name for salvation. Praise the Lord. And so God does not listen to any evil conversation. He can't even hear any of those things. And so God did not hear when Job was saying all of that, those things. That's my assumption. Because God would have known that Job had put himself in a position of compromise. And so when the devil came to God and he said, okay, this is what I've... God was so happy to brag about Job. And he said, have you seen my servant Job? How there is none like him. God was so proud of him. And the devil said, oh, really? And at the end of the day, he took permission from God to go, you know, deal with Job. And he was able to get Job because of that broken hedge. Amen. But there was one thing that Job never did. He never turned his back against God. You know, one of the things that negative speaking will do to a believer, why it may not necessarily get you away from, you still believe in God, you feel that you're humble when you're saying all of those things. Oh, I'm just like what Pastor O'Neill, the example he was given. How are you doing? Oh, we are just pushing along. Oh, we are just, you know, dragging, you know, stuff like that. Instead of you to say, oh, we are walking in victory. Like I like to, you know, anytime you ask Marcelo, how are you doing? He will say, I'm in victory. Praise the Lord. That's our position as believers. Glory to God. And so the devil knew that Job's position was not a position of victory. It was a position of fear. And God cannot operate in an atmosphere of fear. And for us as believers, once you begin to compromise your position, even though you may not necessarily backslide, you would suffer a great deal here on earth. Just like what happened to Job. He didn't have to suffer like that. Can I hear somebody? Job did not have to suffer like that, but he put himself in that position because the devil heard him. Be careful. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat of its fruit thereof. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak faith. Speak victory. Because you know whose you are. That's what God wants to hear. And when the devil saw, because what the devil wants to do, his ultimate aim is to get the believer to backslide. Is to get the believer to turn his back against God. Amen. And so, Job, the devil did everything, but even when the wife advised him, don't you think the best thing for you to do would be to curse God? Because she felt that once he cursed God, God would kill him instantly. Praise the Lord. But Job refused to do that. Amen. Job refused to do that. He stood steadfast, even though he was still speaking all of those things. You know, there's something interesting that I got from this story. Do you know who you are as a child of God? Do you know the authority that has been given to you? Do you know? Do you know that? Because it seems that sometimes even the enemy knows our position more than the believer himself. Now, let me tell you what the devil said. Job chapter 1 and verse 9. Can I get that scripture? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Continue. Hast thou not made an edge around him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. Somebody, did you hear that? This is what the devil is saying. Job didn't even know that, but the devil knew it. It is important for us as believers not to be ignorant. The Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Are you ignorant of God's promise towards you? But I like that song that says, every promise you have kept. God is not making any new promises. Every promise he has kept for you is for us to just glide, amen, through life, because we can see the end from the beginning through God's word. Amen. And so that was what the devil said. He said, I've tried to destroy him, but I can't. But are you telling me that he's serving you for nothing? After all, you've protected him on all sides. You have blessed him mightily and all of that. And he said, and he tried some more, but he still lost. Now, this. Let's go to Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4. From verse 4 to 8, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, these are the angels speaking. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Praise the Lord. I'm sure the angels are wondering, what is so fantastic about man that you have done all of this for him? But you know that at the end, we're going to judge angels, right? I'm sure the angels were not too pleased. Why? Because man showed himself to be very unfaithful and unbelieving and ignorant of what God had done already. And I will tell you, because it says that the only one ignorant of this great importance that God has placed on man is man himself. And I can tell you, I can give you over 60 scriptures if we had the time to tell you why I say so. But let's look at a couple of them. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 78 and verse 22, it says, because they did not believe in God and they did not trust in his salvation. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 17, 14 to 15 says, however, they did not listen, but they stiffened their necks like their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he made with their fathers, and his warnings, which he warned them. And they followed vanity and became vain. And they went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do. Do you know that God has, the Bible says, if you go to the New Testament, the Bible says, hallelujah. He says, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. But yet, you find out that Christians want to compete with the world. They want to do things that the world is doing. They want to dress the way the world dresses. Praise the Lord. But you know that we are royalty. We carry ourselves in a dignified manner. We know who we are. Praise the Lord. I was talking to someone and the person asked me, why is it such a big deal, you know, for me to wear ripped jeans and ripped jackets and all of that? After all, it's just fashion. And I asked a question. I said, would you ever see, go study, go check, because you know that the press, they always follow the fashion of this royal, the royal household. They like following them. Those ones who are interested in fashion, they want to see what the royals are wearing. Amen. And so they follow them. I said, go check from time immemorial to this day. I'm telling you, the way they carry themselves have not changed. Even though the world has changed. There's a reason why God calls us kings and priests. Because there's a way he wants us to act. There's a way he wants us to comport ourselves. And so you look at the royalties of the world carrying themselves with dignity. The Bible says that I see servants on horseback and I see princes walking. Why? Because we do not know who we are. And even though the world, they are not desirous of being like us, We are falling over themselves to be like them. And I want to tell you something. The more like the world you become, the less you are able to reach them. Praise the Lord. Now, I can imagine myself. Listen, don't try to take on the image of the world so that you can get to the world. Get to the world. The Holy Spirit is not by power, it's not by might. So if you want to argue that, oh, you know, Jesus became like us so that he could win us. His one aim was to win the sinner, was to win the lost. But he never became a drunk. He never became an addict. He never became a fornicator. He never became a homosexual, even though his disciples were recorded as all being men. It was never recorded. Even though some people, you know, try to be mischievous with their stories. He never said, oh, I'm just, you know, I've come down from heaven. I'm just a man like you. The Bible says that he was tempted in all ramifications as we are. He said, but he never sinned. And the Bible says to us that there is no temptation that is so great. Hallelujah. Except that which is of man, that God has not provided a way of escape. And so there's no reason for the believer to begin to seek an escape which God has not given. Like this popular thing of people, you know, the argument has been back and forth. Is it okay for a believer to commit suicide? And the devil is beginning to sell a lie, thinking that when you kill yourself, you will go straight into the loving arms of Jesus. I'm telling you, you know, people who were saved from killing themselves said that the last thing that they felt was regret. But by that time, it was too late. I mean, for those ones who eventually died, it was too late. For those ones who survived, praise God for them. Amen. Why would it be that feeling of regret when you are going to be in the arms of the Savior? If there's an expectation of finally meeting with the Master, there is fear. Hallelujah. There's regret. I know of a sister who people were shocked when she took her life because she was such a lovely, loving, vibrant children's church, you know, teacher and all of that, who was always, you know, full of life and everything. And whatever was going on with her, we don't know what happened. But at the end of the day, she was, it was service, you know, it was a service day. And she decided not to go with her husband for service, for Bible study that day. And devil came calling. And by the time he got home, she was on the floor in pains. And when he checked her and he saw that she had actually drank, you know, poison. And he rushed her, you know, to the hospital and all of that. But it was too late. But she was able to do one thing, which we're all grateful for. She repented of her sin. She repented. She was able to repent. But not all people are able to repent. Not everyone has the opportunity. And you know, I was listening to someone, a female preacher had just finished, and she said, thank you so much for your words. Your words stopped me from taking this decision to end my life. And I said to myself, I said, she doesn't know that the decision was not hers. It was actually the devil. It was not her decision. The devil sells you an idea, you buy it, and you think it's yours. And you know he always wants to counterfeit everything that God has done. God tells us, we stand in the authority that God has given us. We speak his words as though it were ours. And it actually is ours. Why do you think there was a difference between Jesus and the other prophets who came before him? They said, this man speaks as one who has authority. They had never seen that before. Others were speaking of one to come, speaking the scriptures, oh, this is going to happen. That. But this one spoke as one who had authority. Amen. And you know, when Jesus came, he was not interested in being liked by everybody. And when people talk and they say, oh, you have to be more like Jesus. You have to be, Jesus was kind, loving. But if you go, those are people who don't read their Bibles. When you check the scriptures, why do you think that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they hated him? They were jealous of him. And sometimes I was watching, you know, the Bible. I just had it here. I put on the TV in my office, and I was just watching how Jesus addressed the Pharisees and the words that he used. And I would shiver sometimes, like, wow, that was harsh. Praise the Lord. That was harsh. But Jesus spoke that way to them. Amen. Jesus was not, he didn't go about begging people and trying to know. He spoke as one who knew what he was talking about. And some people were saying that if Jesus, you know, like there was someone who said something as a believer that other people didn't like. And she was canceled. You know, there's this new word that they say canceled. And they were telling her, I was reading the comments, and someone said to her, oh, don't worry. If Jesus had been here, he would have been canceled also. Praise the Lord. And then someone made another comment and said, oh, Jesus was canceled because he was killed. But let me tell you something. This was what Jesus made very clear. He said, no man can take my life. He said, because I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to raise it up again. Praise the Lord. Listen, the Bible says that we should study the word, study this word, study, read it. And that's why when the first thing the pastor does after he has led someone to Christ online, he says, go get yourself a Bible. You need to make friends with your Bible, because that's what will tell you the truth. There was a certain minister of God who took another minister along with him to Israel. And he said while he was there, he was preaching and talking to the people, telling them, you know, talking about the book of Revelations, giving them history, you know, talking about the history of why this is so, why that is so. And after a while, he got tired. And then he turned to this minister and said, after this time, you're going to take over because I'm exhausted. And this minister said to him, oh, no, I can't take over from you because I don't know anything about the book of Revelations. And he said, oh, you don't know anything about, you've never, he said, no, he has never read it. Okay, what about the book of the prophet? He said, no, he has never read it. Then what have you been reading? He said, he has been reading books. You've been reading books? Praise the Lord. Because let me tell you, and he said he was so angry. He said, I paid your flight ticket. I paid your hotel bills, your reservation, and all of that just for you to come here, watch me preach. And he was enraged. But there was nothing he could do. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. And, you know, Pastor keeps saying something that's so funny. Every little thing, people write books. They write and talk about God from their own experience. Amen. But you don't have to know God through the experience of others. You need to know God for yourself. You need to have a revelation of who God is for yourself. If not, you'll keep quoting other people even when they are wrong. And the Bible says that you should not add, you should not take away. And so many, many people have added to the word. And let me tell you something. I was so shocked to hear a very renowned minister of the gospel say something. She had just written a new book, and they asked her, they said, oh, why don't you talk about this and this and that? And she said, oh, that is about the publisher, that if I had my way, I would talk more about those things. But the publishers tell me that you must promise the people something. If they don't see every word, every book must have something promised. If it doesn't have, then the book will not go well. I was shocked when I heard it. Praise the Lord. It means that you are now an oracle of yourself. You are no longer an oracle. That means that you are depending on book sales. That's what you are depending on. It means that your sight is not fixed on God. And that means that you have become a false prophet. And it also means that you have been restrained from telling the people the truth. even though you know the truth. You cannot tell the truth to the people because the truth does not sell. The truth is not marketable. Amen. It's not marketable. And the Bible says that in the last days, men will have itchy ears. And because they will have itching ears, the devil will fill their ears. He will help them to suit their ears. And Christianity has become a religion of me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Oh, you get that job. You get that promotion. And why all of these things are true? Oh, if this person, you know, tells you this and you're not comfortable, get rid of that person. That person does not have to be in your life. Get rid of toxic people, blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing is that those toxic people may actually be those people God has sent to you to save you from destruction. And so, because they don't tell you things that will make you feel good, you cancel them. Praise the Lord. You get rid of them. You know, it's good for us to have people who will tell us the truth. It's good for us to have people who will just hold us back from the edge of the cliff. The Bible says that woe is you when every man speaks well of you. They just might be lying to you. They are not bold enough to tell you the truth because maybe they are benefiting something from you. It's just like the politicians and the rich people of the world. We are rich, praise the Lord, but I'm talking about the rich people of the world. They put people around them who lie to them. You find out the presidents have advisors, and these advisors are lying to them. Just like you had the king in those days, he would put the wise men around him. And the wise men would lie to the king and tell the king what the king wants to hear, or else he would be off with their necks. And Daniel found himself in that situation. Praise the Lord. When the king had a dream, and the wise men were not able to interpret the dream, and their necks were on the chopping block. So, praise the Lord. He immediately said to the king that, don't worry, we are going to, you know, himself and his friends. And he never consulted with his friends. Was it Pastor Oni who said that yesterday? He never consulted with his friends before he took that decision on their behalf that they were going to tell the king what his dream was. But that was Daniel's confidence in God. That was the confidence he had in God. Do you have that same confidence in God? For you to risk your very life, to stake your life for what you believe. Amen. There are so many, many believers, so many churches that have shut down because they cannot stake their lives for what they believe. They are not sure. But a great man of God said, it's better for me to die believing. It's better for me to die believing than for me to die in unbelief and offending God and risking not being with him. I would rather die, because the Bible has told me that I should not be afraid of them that can kill the body, but they have no power over what? Because this is not the only life. There is something beyond this, and we know this. We are not ignorant, but the world is ignorant. And so they live for what they can see. They are people of the senses. And that's the reason why the Bible calls them carnal beings. And that's why God is so offended, so grieved, when we begin to act in a carnal manner. And Paul said, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as mere babes in Christ. For when you were supposed to be eating meat, we still have to feed you with milk. Glory to God. God can use. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It feels good when we say it in church. Until the challenges come. And then we are forced to compromise. Because we are not sure that God has our backs. We are not sure of what God is going to do. Amen. And you hear some Christians say, oh, look, my dear, this is not the time for prayers. Amen. You hear a lot of things in Christendom. You have to do what you have to do. Amen. And sometimes people feel that it's a useless venture to pray. The Bible says that we should not be weary in well-doing. Prayer is a labor of love. We don't only pray because we want to ask God for things. There are nations to be prayed for. There are souls to be won. There are people to be released from the clutches of the devil. And the devil is taking captives every day. We need to depopulate the kingdom of darkness. And you can only do these things in the place of prayer. And Jesus encouraged the disciples to pray. And when he came to the place of temptation, he asked one thing of his disciples. He said, pray with me 1 hour. And when he came, they were asleep. And he said, could you not even wait with me 1 hour? This was Jesus, who knew the end from the beginning. Still, he had to pray. He was not prideful at all. He humbled himself to even allow a mere man slap him when he could have called a host of angels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it is important for us to know how to respond to God. Is God's word more than enough? What are we focused on? What's our team? What's our team? Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus was with his disciples all this while, and Philip made a request. And the request Philip could make to Jesus was, Master, show us the Father. And Jesus was not too pleased. And he said, have you been with me all this time and still you ask me to show you the Father? Don't you know that I and the Father, we are one? And that's the thing with us as believers, not us in the house, because we are men and women of faith in this house. Amen? Amen. They want to see more. They want to hear more. They want to know more. Their ears are itching, and that's the reason why they are looking for the lost books of the Bible. Oh, there are some 13 other books that were not added. We need to go search those ones out. And Pastor had a good answer. Have you searched out the other 66 books? If you have 66 witnesses, would you be more concerned about the 13 witnesses? Because the 66 witnesses are enough, more than enough, to win you your case. And yet, you're going after those ones. You don't know what their testimonies will be. They might be against you. But that's what you seek after. Amen. And so, I want to talk about 3 ways that we can respond to God. Amen. Number one of the ways that we respond to God is by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. Hallelujah. And if we read from Hebrews 11:3 to the end, we will see a lot of examples of faith. And I think you will oblige me by, let's go there, because praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for giving me enough time. Praise the Lord. It says that, is that the scripture? Hebrews what? 11. Praise the Lord. I think, can you give me the part that says that by faith, all of those people of faith, Hebrews what? 11:4. Oh, I opened to Hebrews 4:11 instead of 11:4. You see how the devil tries to distract. Praise the Lord. The Bible says there, it says, through faith, we understand. Okay, let's leave that. It says in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Hallelujah. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I wonder how Enoch pleased God. That God was so pleased that he never died. Just like Elijah. Praise the Lord. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not yet seen, he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By his faith, he condemned the world. It had never rained prior to that time. Do you know, I never knew that. But as I began to study, I found out that the people that lived in Noah's time had never experienced rain. And so, when Noah was talking, they didn't even know what he was talking about. But even though Noah didn't even know what God was talking about, the Bible says that he went ahead and did what God asked him to do by faith. Amen. And by that faith, he ended up condemning the world. Because if Noah could believe, why can't you? There's no reason. Praise the Lord. No excuse. And he says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place where he should receive an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And you know, this scripture actually helped me at a time in my life where I went through the challenge of losing a spouse. And I said to God, because when I envisioned my life, I did not envision ever losing a spouse. That was not part of God's plan for me, for my life. And it happened. And I came to a place where I said, Lord, I don't understand why all of this has happened. I said, but I trust you. I trust you. That was what I said to God. I don't understand. And you know, the Holy Ghost never spoke to me prior to that time. Before I made that declaration, I never heard anything from God. I never asked him any questions, because I know that in all of these things, I know that I'm not disadvantaged. I knew then, and I know now, that as a child of God, I can never be disadvantaged. But I said to God, I don't understand all of this, but I trust you. And at the end of the day, God gave me a scripture. This scripture, by faith, Abraham was called to go to a place. He didn't know where he was going. And God confirmed to me, because I already had it planned out where I was going. I was headed for Australia. I was headed for Australia, and Pastor still met me while I was still making my plans. But the Lord had a better plan. And my sister, my sibling, was kept calling me until I got annoyed. Come. And their convention was, you know, going to take place in August. And she kept telling me to come for the convention. And I was like, you know what? I need to listen to the Spirit. But God, the Spirit of God was speaking. And I was saying, I need to listen to Listen, God places men and women around us. Those people that we need at the right time. Even when we feel that they might be annoying us, stuff like that. Listen. And that's why I don't agree when they tell you, oh, get rid of toxic people. And I say, those toxic people who people are always talking about may just be the one sent to you. They are not saying anything good to you, because they are saying, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't eat that. You can't believe like that. You can't talk like that. Who are you? Are you the boss of me? You are toxic. You don't make me feel good about myself. I have to get rid of you. That's the devil talking to you. Amen. And we have this African proverb that says that a fly that doesn't have a legal advisor will follow the dead body into the grave. Because that fly thinks that it has gotten a very sumptuous meal. Wow, all of this just for me. And you know, the fly is just, you know, on that body eating away until they are covered up along with the dead body. Praise the Lord. We must always learn to listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And sometimes when the Holy Ghost is whispering to you and you are not listening, he sends people, hey, go tell my daughter this. Go tell my son this. Amen. And the Bible says here that through faith, Sarah received the strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him to be faithful who had promised. And let me tell you another thing that happened. You know, after I had said that, I got to because, you know, the just shall live by their faith. And I remember that there's a certain tradition that when you lose someone as a wife or a husband, whatever it is, you have to stay aside for a certain time. And I remember when Pastor was preaching a message, he also talked about when women, some women give birth, you don't see them in church for 3 months. Sometimes you don't see them for 6 months. And sometimes they just backslide from there. You know, the devil is always trying to get us. And that's why the Bible says, God said to us, don't forsake the gathering together. And you have other people that who are saying, oh, the church is online. Can we enjoy? When I came here, like I was like, I need to hear the praise team minister. And the minute I heard the sound of rejoicing, my spirit immediately went on fire. Praise the Lord. Those are things that you may not necessarily get. This is a corporate anointing that we get when we are together. There's the power of God to heal the sick right in that place. The anointing doesn't just come when, at a time when, oh, the pastor comes up on the stage and he's calling out for those who are ill. It starts right from when we are right in the midst of our brethren. Because the Bible says that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And if you are not in the midst of your belief, the Bible says that we carry his divine presence. You can go and talk to unbelievers and do stuff because you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. But you come to recharge. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. When you take, you have wood and you know, in the fireplace, you take out one, you put it aside, and it says, oh, I can burn alone. After a while, it burns out. After a while, it burns out. But God knows, and he has told us how to stay on fire. You know, in those days, when there was this fire, you know, in the temple, and the Bible says that it was God who kindled that. That fire was kept lit by God. But now, we are responsible for keeping that fire lit. Quench not the spirit. That's what the Bible says to us. Don't quench the spirit. It means that we have the ability to quench the spirit. Amen? And so surround yourself with people. And if I must piggyback on what Pastor Oni said again yesterday, if you need to get rid of some friends, get rid of them. Those ones who cannot stay with you in the place of prayer. And I was talking to a youth the other day and she said, oh, she brought out her Bible and someone in her class was like, why are you reading a Bible? She was shocked. And then someone in her defense said, because she can. Praise the Lord. Amen. You must have friends around you when you go out together and he finds you straying. The friend says, no, you can't do that. Don't get rid of that friend because he's now acting like your father. Or you think he's acting like your mother, you're not the boss of me, or stuff like that. You need those kind of people around you. Amen. And so, let me not go off track. When I said that to God, when I said I don't, but I trust you. I was talking about how some people have certain traditions of staying away from the house of God because of from someone you had a child and so what? Amen. Or you lost a spouse, then you are staying for what? Why? You want to just be miserable at home for the next 3 months. And so during that time, people would be surprised when they see me. The minute we got back from, you know, the funeral and everything, I immediately dusted myself. Amen. I took off whatever clothed it was for mourning, and I went straight to church. And I saw that the brethren were looking at me in surprise. Oh, you are back already. And they were looking at me from the corner of their eyes until I almost began to feel uncomfortable, like I was breaking some law or something. Have I sinned? Have I done something? But they didn't want to say, oh, we thought you were going to be away for so. And funny enough, there was another woman who had also lost a spouse and she had stayed away. But I'm sure word got to her that, oh, this sister is back. So she too. Now, your testimony matters. Praise the Lord. And as I got to church and I came out, I was at a car park. I got out of my car and I was walking. A brother who was also a leader in church, he came out of his car with his wife and his children. And he said, the glory of God is upon you. God said, I should tell you that your latter days is going to be greater than the former. He said, you are so blessed. He said, your future is so bright. I know his name, praise the Lord, Brother Segun. He said, he just began to prophesy right there at the car, and he was looking at me so strangely, like, what is God going to do in her life? Because what God had shown him was so glorious. I would have missed that if I had been under my bed for the next 3 months. It matters. It matters. Praise the Lord. Where you go, who you surround yourself with, who the whisperers into your ears are, it matters. It matters to God. It matters to your spirit, to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. And all of that. Mary was also by faith that she believed. She believed when the angel came and told her. She had heard that there was going to be a Messiah. They had read the scriptures and everything. After all, I'm sure they went to the synagogues and all of that. But she didn't know that she was going to be the one used. But the funny thing was that she never asked the angel silly questions. She never said, oh, but I'm engaged. Are you going to tell Joseph also? Pregnant without being married. That's an offense punishable by death. I could be stoned to death. What you're telling me is at risk to my life. Are you going to let the others know? All she said was, let it be done to me as you have spoken. Is that fate or what? And she allowed the angel go tell Joseph by when she told Joseph, and the guy was like, oh, you think you can move me off with that story? Then the angel came, but she had already agreed. What the angel said was more than enough. She didn't need any more. And she said, let it be done to me as you have said. Is God's word more than enough for you? Or are you looking for something else? Because the devil can actually bring false prophets to come prophesy. God's word is all encompassing, is more than enough. It's all that we ever need here on earth. God has given us everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. He has revealed himself to us. The Bible says that he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so, while the unbelievers are laughing at the believers, saying they are stupid, you believe in a man that's up there in the skies. We laugh to ourselves because there's a knowing on the inside of us. And this is a knowing that the unbelievers cannot receive, unless they have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And so when Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? He wasn't too interested in all of that, but he was more interested in who Peter knew him to be. And when Peter told him, he said, wow, flesh and blood haven't revealed this to you. He was satisfied. What Peter said encouraged him. It meant that he did not come in vain. Glory to God. The same thing with Rahab. And the funny thing about this was, Mary was a virgin. Rahab was a prostitute. But Rahab had faith and she believed. And because of that, she was among the, her name was mentioned in the genealogy of Christ, a prostitute. Because some people say, oh, my past is so bad. God cannot use me. Can God ever forgive me? God used the virgin and he used the prostitute. He looked out for just one thing, your faith. He looked out for what? Hello, guys. He looked out for what? Jesus looked out for faith when he went to his home city of Capernaum, and he couldn't do much because of the unbelief of the people. God wants to do great and mighty works in your life. Do you have the faith to receive it? Amen. Say, I have the faith. When I say these things, when I give you a question, it's not just a rhetorical question. Answer. In fact, I have the faith to receive it. Because your confession precedes possession. You keep talking it. Don't stop talking it. Amen. The word of God in your mouth is powerful. It gives life. And that's the reason why the devil came to give life to Job's words. They were negative. When God says, I watch over my word to perform it. When you speak the word of God, the angels are in attendance. They are ready to receive the command. But when you are there in unbelief, the angels are just bored. There's a scripture that talks about that, right? That the angels hasten to do. Let's get that scripture. They're hacking onto the. They are waiting for the word of God so that you can put them to action. They are soldiers. They want to walk. They are interested, but so many believers have made their angels redundant. And the angels are saying, look, we need some action. We need action. Speak the word. Speak faith. Speak the word of God. Praise the Lord. We want to see, not the scripture, the angels, the one about the angels. Psalm 103. Because we need to show the evidence so that it won't look like I'm just telling stories. Like how you embellish bedtime stories for little children. Praise the Lord. When we get there, let me know. Hallelujah. And so, that's it. And you see, the interesting thing about all of these people was that their faith was at a risk to their own lives. Even Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute, and they knew that this man had been in her house. But she lied and said no, even though she was hiding the spies who God had sent to spy out the land. She was hiding them in her home. And she knew that her home could be searched and she and her family put to death if she was found to be, you know, lying and all of that. But she risked everything. Why? Because she believed in the God of the Israelites. Praise the Lord. Let me go back to my notes because I need to get that out. Hallelujah. She said something. Amen. Let's look at Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9 to 11. She made a decision to stand on the side of the Israelites, all because she heard. This was what she said. And she said unto the men, the spies, because they were wondering, why would a prostitute? She's also part of this nation. Why would she hide us? Are you sure she's not setting us up? And we understand that she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land and that your terror is falling upon us and that of all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. You know the amazing part of this thing? She just heard about it. These people just heard about it and they were shaking with fear. The Israelites were in the very presence of God. They were right there when the sea was opened. And yet, none of them were able to enter the promised land because they still did not believe. Praise the Lord. They could not enter because of their unbelief. Amen. We are believers. Then I want to give an example with a great man of God called the Archbishop Benson Idausa. We like to mention all of these people that were used by God. Amen. We like to mention them because their faith stirs up our own faith. It does something in our spirits. Because if it were just Jesus, we would say, oh, it was Jesus, it was the Son of God. After all, only you are holy, only you are righteous, only you. We speak all those religious words and we are humble in the sight of God. Amen. But that's not what God says concerning us. Amen. And so he went to his pastor as a new believer. He had this testimony. He went to his pastor and he said, I heard that, because the Bible says that, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, Not and you don't doubt in your heart that what you say will come to pass. You have whatsoever you say. And I believe, and I heard also that we can raise the dead. Can we actually raise the dead? And his pastor said, yes, you can raise, we can raise the dead. Then he asked his pastor a question. He said, have you ever raised the dead? And his pastor said, no, I haven't raised the dead. He said, but can I do it? And his pastor said, yes, you can do it. That was more than enough for him to take action. And he began to go around the town and asking, is anyone dead here? Is anyone dead here? Is anyone dead here? And at the end of the day, he finally found a house where there was a girl who was dead. And the long and short of the story was that she was brought back to life. And that was not the only person that he had prayed for that came back to life. Why? Because of faith. The Bible says that God searched the earth, praise the Lord, seeking for those ones who he can show. He wants to show him strong, himself strong on our behalf. He wants that one that we go forth. He wants that one that will say when there's a casting down, that one that will say there's a lifting up. He wants that one that when the doctor says it's impossible, they say, no, it is possible. Praise the Lord. It is possible. That's what God wants to see. Faith in our mouths. Amen. Because when you believe, you speak and then you take action. And that was what he did. He believed. And then he said, okay, I'm going to do it. And he went out looking for dead people. Praise the Lord. The faith was more than enough. The woman with the issue of blood, her faith was more than enough to get her healed, even without her getting the attention of the master. If Jesus had noticed her, we would have said, oh, he knew that she had a disease. And so he touched her. But no, she didn't even want to get the attention of the master. All she wanted to do, she knew that it was just more than enough for her to just get the hem, not to grab him. She wasn't going to throw herself on him. She just wanted not even his skin, because she did not want to be noticed. She didn't want Jesus to notice her. So she wasn't going to touch him. She just wanted to touch his. What faith? Because in those days, you know, when a woman is on, even on her period, they call her unclean and she can't come out in the midst of people. She has to keep herself away for at least 7 days or until that time is over. Amen. If you feel like sleeping, get up to your feet. Amen. That's faith. Look behind you. If there's someone that is dozing off, tell him, don't let the devil steal from you. Even the one that is sleeping is looking back. Praise the Lord. Amen. She went and she would have been put to death if they had found her. And so she didn't want to draw attention to herself. That was the reason why she wanted to get her healing in secret. But Jesus does not miss a touch of faith, because that's what he's looking out for. And he did not miss the woman in the crowd. Even though his disciples felt it was ridiculous for him to ask a question. Why are you asking who touched you? There are people pushing and shoving. But Jesus knew what he was talking about, and the woman knew. And she came out trembling. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number two, the first one, I said, this is how we tap in. Amen. First of all, I said by faith. Then number two, I said obedience to instruction. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says that we should not be hearers only of the word, but doers. Don't be hearers only, deceiving your own selves, the Bible says. But be ye doers of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. It matters what we do in response to the word of God. When Jesus came, the Bible says that he went about doing good and healing all of them that were oppressed of the enemy. If he had just come and said, oh, my father sent me to do this, and he just sat down lounging and having people bring food to him and everything and behaving like a king and all of that. But he came, he told them, and he did. He put everything to work, his faith in action, to demonstrate to the people. Amen. Then number three, speak the word. That's number three. Speak the word. Because we activate the power of the word by speaking. We activate the power of the word of God by speaking it. If it's just inside you, That's why the Bible says that you believe in your heart. Now you have another step to make. Confess it with your mouth. It's unproductive when it's just inside you. The Bible says, yes, even the demons know and they tremble. Their knowledge causes them to tremble. Your knowledge causes you to walk in victory. Amen. So it says, speak the word, because God is watching over that word to perform it. Jesus said, I know that you know what you need. My Father knows. But he wants you to ask him. And that's why I don't agree when people say, oh, you should know. Shouldn't you know that I have this need? No, I don't. If you have a need, ask me. If I want to favor you, I would favor you. But I'm not going to assume. Because sometimes people have assumed and gotten into trouble. Because you just may be helping someone who you think is in need. And the person will take offense and say, oh, you think I'm needy. He thinks I'm needy. That's why he's giving to me. And the person becomes offended at your generosity. Amen. And so we are like our Father. We don't impose anything on you. Praise the Lord. It matters to God how we go through diverse tests. Praise the Lord. You know, John the Baptist, even though he was described as the greatest man who ever lived, and he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ and saying, hey, you know, repent and be saved and all of those good things he was saying about Jesus. And at the end of the day, he baptized Jesus and he saw when the heavens opened and, you know, he heard a voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased and all of that. And the Bible records that, yes, he was the greatest man who ever lived. Jesus said that. And Jesus also said that of every man born of a woman, but even the least of us is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We had what John the Baptist never had. But do you know that when the temptation came, John the Baptist became offended at Jesus. He became offended. So Jesus didn't hear that I'd been arrested and that my neck is about to be taken off. Please go ask him, are you the one that I prophesied about, or should we expect another? He was being sarcastic now. Are you the one, or should we expect another one? And Jesus just said to them, he said, go and tell him everything that you have seen and heard. Jesus wasn't moved, because he expected that Jesus would come with the angels or come with an entourage and come break him out of cell. And Jesus never did any of that. But maybe if Jesus, John the Baptist, had danced and sang and worshipped like Paul and Silas, maybe the angels would have come to rescue him. But instead of doing that, he decided to take offense. Like when the pastor says, hey, this is what you ought to be doing. Oh, the pastor the pastor ought to understand what I'm going through. Instead, the pastor is shaming me. You know, we have this nice, they have a way of coining some very interesting phrases. You are not being shamed by the pastor. You're not being shamed by the brother. You're not being shamed by the sister. You're being encouraged. Your faith, they're nudging you. Hey, come out of that comfort zone. Amen. So that's it. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say something like this. Let us go. I want us to look at that scripture that if you say to this mountain, be thou moved, in the book of Matthew, or please, can I get that scripture? And I want us to read that scripture. Now, when I say it, repeat after me. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Some people are saying it without conviction. Say it with power. Say it with power. Praise the Lord. Say it with authority. Say it with authority. Say it with confidence. Not in a sleepy way. Oh, okay. Whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou cast. No. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. I remember, oh, glory to God. Ah, I used to tease, you know, Chidera. Sometimes I would say, when she says something, you know the American, you know, when you hear the Americans talk, they say it so softly, so gentle. And sometimes I like people who speak so softly. Sometimes I used to wonder, why can't I talk so softly? Why am I so brash? Oh, how you doing? And all of that. I want to talk softly, you know, I want to be like that. But when I talk, sometimes it comes out so harsh. And when she talks, sometimes I would say it in a Nigerian way. Glory to God. Oh, my God. Yes, they are known for their brashness. They are brash. They are loud. Although the Americans can be loud also. But you find few, especially in the spirit, they are very aggressive in the spirit. And I'm talking of them Africans. And that's the reason why the scientists are perplexed. We thought we were going to see them dying in the streets. How come we are not seeing dead bodies littered? Because when a typical African is pushed to the wall, he fights back in the place of prayer. And they pray in many ways. They are fighting the devil right there. Some of them are not shaking their heads like their heads want to fall off. But they are fighting. They are fighting. It's a fight of faith. And it works every time. You know, sometimes you get so comfortable when you have the hospitals, social security, you have all of those things. The government always has your back. So there's no need to exercise your faith. In Africa, there's nothing like social security. If you have to exercise your faith. It's either you exercise your faith or you suffer or even die. When you get to the hospital, let me tell you, and that's the reason why when the doctor says to the someone goes to the doctor, maybe they are feeling not too well in their body, and the doctor brings one disease, they will come back. When they get back home, and they say, what did the doctor say? They say, he said he has this disease. They refuse to put it on themselves. The doctor said himself and his family has... And sometimes when you say some bad words, they will say, your father. They will take it immediately back to sender. Back to sender. And they will stand in that place. They never want to put sickness upon them. Oh, I have this or I have that. Like, you find out that people they take pride in saying, oh, I have this disease. You know, it's so amazing how people can just come and say, oh, you know, I have this, I have. And they're saying it so... You know, with all the audacity, as though that's how it's supposed to be. It's normal, it's usual. Somebody said to me, oh, this old age is not easy at all. You know, and I said old age. And I know that I went to school with this person and we are the same age. And the person said, aren't you feeling this or you're feeling that? I mean, you start feeling... I said, me? No, I'm not feeling anything. And I'm not lying. I'm not saying, oh, because I'm not feeling anything. I can compete with a teenager any day. My energy levels are high. Praise the Lord. Pastor's energy levels are high. Pastor Oni was jumping all over the stage and I was almost jumping myself. The energy levels are high. You don't go preaching and you are putting your hand in your pocket casually and you are going as if the word of God is casual. The people will receive it casually. Praise the Lord. You have to receive the word. You have to grab it. You have to take it. And I was telling Pastor one day, I said, you know what? It's so funny how it's so easy for people here to go. You know, when you talk, hear all the celebrities, they are going for one surgery or the other. They are talking in this and talking at that and nipping this and nipping that. And repairing something and putting something here. And I'm like, back in Africa, if the doctor tells you that you have surgery, you immediately call your pastor. And here they do it so casually. Because you feel that, no, I'm not going to receive this. You prefer to receive your healing than to get caught up and chopped up by the doctors. Who probably will make some mistakes. And no, they're not ready to do all of that. There are many people who have died on the surgical table because they were trying to get themselves to look better, which is actually not necessary in the first place. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to speak the word. It's time to speak the word. Hallelujah. You know, whatever the devil has planned, we can shut it down. Say, whatever the devil has planned, I can shut it down. God has shown us the end from the beginning. So he only comes to try. He only comes to try. Just like he went around Job, and then he got Job. He said, aha, I've gotten him now. And he went in through the broken edge. Praise the Lord. He's not on our level. He's not even on our level. Because if you look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, the word of God tells us, he said, behold, I have given you the power to trample over all the powers of the enemy. Am I right? Let's read that properly. And nothing can by any means hurt you. Glory to God. Woo-hoo-hoo. I can just go on and on. All I can say is keep speaking. Keep decreeing. Keep professing your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a child of faith. You know, every morning, Pastor takes those declarations, those confessions, and he's speaking it until it becomes normal to him. And one day I said, please send me, airdrop it to my so that I can take them too. Those are good things. You must declare your stand every single day. Not because of yourself, but so that the devil will hear you. And just in case you find yourself going lukewarm, so that you can also hear yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. So, if you speak victory, you'll be victorious all the time. Because the Bible has said, let the weak say, I am strong. Don't just come and tell your, yes, we know. If the doctor asks, you went to the doctor because you wanted to tell him that. But at the end of the day, don't stay in that place. Take authority. And I know that we ought to close now. Praise the Lord. Pastor's looking surprised. That means that... Praise the Lord. Should I continue? Amen. I'm going to give the altar call in a little bit. But let me tell you something. Do you know that God has given you authority? And that's the reason why, like Pastor gave the example, you know, when Moses, you know, called out to God, and then God said to him, why criest thou out to me? What do you have in your hand? It's a type of what God has given us. He has given us his word. He said, behold, you have the word. It's nigh you, even in your mouth. Speak it. Speak life. I heard this testimony of a girl, of a young woman, a pastor, a minister, actually. Her father was also a minister in the church. And she began to feel sick in her body. And after a while, she felt like she could no longer continue. She went to the hospital, and they told her she had cancer, and she had just 30 days to live. And so she said that instead of fighting, she succumbed until her father came into the room, and he said, woman of God, he said, you are a minister. He said, if you remain in this place, you are going to die. He said, you need to get up now and speak the word. Take the word of God like medicine. And she said her father was not too nice about it. Maybe the world would have told her to cancel her father. Amen. And so she took the word. She said, she went into her room and she began to speak the word. She kept on speaking the word and she never saw any changes in her body. But she remembered what Gloria Copeland said, to take the word of God in your system like medicine. You know, people are so faithful to do what the doctor says. The word of God is our medicine. Amen. The word of God is our medicine. Praise the Lord, and we must make use of it. Don't be too quick to go listen. Sometimes when you find yourself in that place, correct yourself and move on. Amen. Correct yourself and move on. Stand on the word of God. And as she began to speak the word, she was preaching to herself and all of that. First day, second day, 2 weeks, 50, you know, 20th day, nothing. On the 29th day, she felt a shift in her system. And she knew that something had happened. On the 30th day, when she was expected to die, she went back to the hospital. And she said the first doctor came out and he was like, oh, what's she doing here? I thought she'd be dead already. And then the first doctor came. She said the second doctor, the third doctor, until there were 5 doctors examining her reports. And he said to her, I don't know what you've been doing, but we can't find the cancer anymore. Can someone shout hallelujah? The word of God works. It works. Amen. It works. Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet at this time? Amen. And for those people who are watching, if you want to give your heart to Christ, amen, I just want to lead you in prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, all of these good things that we are talking about, it would not happen if you're not a child of God. You can't tap into all of these good things. It's for the children of the kingdom. Amen. And so I want you to say after me, say, dear God, for the sinners, for those ones who are not born again, praise the Lord, unless you feel you want to be born again. Say, dear God, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to change and turn from my sin. I now invite Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for accepting me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are more things I would have said, but for time, but I want to advise you that the first thing you must do is get yourself a Bible, then connect yourself to a church. If you are here in Florida, join us in the Blessed House. If you're in Nigeria, we have the Blessed House in Lagos. Join us. Our address is on the website. Praise the Lord. And then another thing that you must do, you must pray. Talk to God in the place of prayer and lead others to Christ. Tell others of what God has done for you. And one of the reasons why you must be in church is to make sure that you get baptized. Father God, we worship and exalt you. We thank you for this time in your presence. It has been an awesome time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the revelation of your word, even to the hearts of as many. Thank you for taking many people out of that place of indecision to a place of decision. Thank you, Father God, for hope that has been ignited in the hearts of many. Thank you, Father God, for faith that has been stirred up in that heart, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for healing that has come to that body, even as a result of the word that went forth. Thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for all that you have said concerning us. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor in the name of the Lord Jesus.